AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Hello and welcome to the number one podcast in the world. This is your Confessions podcast from Greatest Hits Radio.
We're not even qualifying it now, are
nope.
we? We're just saying number one.
There has been audience research carried out, and it has proven without a doubt that this podcast kills 99% of
it
all
does.
Known germs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. It's the Confessions podcast brought to you by your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. And as it's Good Friday, consider this your audio Easter egg. And thanks to Holly for buying me and Matt a proper Easter egg. Susie would have got one, but she's not here. She's in the pub.
I
am indeed.
And so you can hear that. And Matt, he's in the gutter.
Yes.
And Sister Holly is back from her incredibly long holiday. And
ridiculous.
She's still in charge of the cupboard du tat. Coming up, we're going to be hopping along to have a gander at the parish notice board to see what you've been saying this week. There may be signs of praise, a sprinkling of gratitude, and perhaps the odd five-star offering selected by Matt. Because if it's only got four stars, he just says no.
Correct.
As always, it will be approached with humility, something for which this podcast is renowned across the world, which has made it the number one
podcast.
It is.
Yeah.
We'll pause just briefly and open the creaky door, Mark Knopfler. Can it be marked, Mark Knopfler? Anyway, that's what we're saying. And of course, you'll hear all the fabulous misdeeds from this week's Drive Time on Greatest Hits Radio, which include Red Rock's Carnival Tale, Aquarius, and My Name is Ralph. Johnny Boy's high-tech toilet adventure, Knock Knock, Knock Knock Who's There. Gordon's confession, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. But first, Julian is causing car park chaos with a possessed car in the one that we called When I'm Driving, I'm in Overdrive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Julian. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. I'm writing to seek forgiveness for an indiscretion that occurred during my time as a student at Liverpool Polytechnic, right about 1987. I was 3 years into my four-year civil engineering degree, which would ultimately take 5 years, but that's another story. I was on a thin sandwich course, as it was called, and having just completed my second spell working in an industry and having been paid for the privilege, I was feeling rather flush. So this is a student feeling rather flush. Not wanting to just waste it, I invested it in my first car, a Mars Red 895cc VW Polo, registration VFM 386V. It was my pride and joy and elevated me to a position of chief taxi, especially at the young person's accommodation flats where I stayed. There were four three-story flats on the site: Aspen, Beach, Cedar and Danta. You might notice that's A, B, C and D.
Yeah.
Don't know what Danta's all about, but anyway. I was in Cedar, says Julian, and we had parking spaces right outside the front door, which we could see from the kitchen window. Along with the 1987 new intake to the flats was a jovial Irishman. We'll call him John. Lovely guy, great crack and so on, but there was a problem. Well, there were two problems, actually. Firstly, John had brought from Ireland his VW Polo Classic Saloon with a superior spec to mine. Mm. And secondly, John chose to park in our parking spaces as he thought it was safer there. Well, you can imagine the indignation and rage that this brought about. This was an imposition and we would not stand for this outrage. One evening, and still to this day, I don't know why I did it, I tried my key in his lock and it opened.
Really?
What?
Well, let's not stop there and see if it would start the engine. And it did.
It did?
Oh, what? Joy of joys, and so started the elaborate plan. The following morning, John went to his car, but failed to notice that it had been moved two spaces to the left. However, the second morning, he did pause with a puzzled look on his face to see that it had moved four spaces to the right and was parked the other way round. This was going too well to stop, so over the next 3 weeks, the car ended up in every single conceivable space and position and orientation possible in one car park. Nicely parked, badly parked, boot first, bonnet first, freshly cleaned, freshly driven, sometimes smelling of flowers, sometimes smelling of wet dog.
What?
That was particularly inventive. Sometimes smelling of chicken sandwiches.
All right.
Now, as I said earlier, John was good crack and we did enjoy a pint or two with him. But over this period, he was, I have to say, and to say the least, slightly fraught. And after a few Guinnesses down the pub, confessed that he thought his car was possessed.
Mm.
And as a good churchgoer, he was going to get the priest to perform an exorcism. Ah, we're back there. Yes, and Father Jimmy duly did his thing. He waved his wand. He said, Expelliarmus, I think I've got...
his wand?
Yes,
right.
Is that right?
Okay.
Is that,
yeah. Expelliarmus.
Father Jimmy and his wand. There they are.
Exactly.
Anyway, everything was fine after that because we stopped our evil night moves.
Ah.
And John's car was haunted no more. I'm a bit feeble there. Father Simon, I'm not seeking forgiveness from John, nor from his fellow flatmates in Danter House, silly name, as they were all snobby, arty types that wore berets and ponchos. They deserve to listen to John telling his possessed car tales. No, it's forgiveness from poor Gwen, who lived as the flat warden. On a daily basis was harangued by John over the lack of security and wicked spirits that frequented the flats. I trust you can all seek to unburden me of this jolly jape after all these years. Yours repentantly, Julian. All real names can be used. How about
that? Oh, really? Oh, he said that, has he?
He has.
Oh.
So he's actually called Julian, and it is from Liverpool Polytechnic.
Okay.
Sister Susie, what do you say of this slightly wicked demonic plan?
Well, very well done on the commitment, Julian, there, I think, you know, to try that car in every space, which way, here and there, I think is, you know, it's committed, and I'll give you that. However, you know, you did take it for a drive, and it is kind of theft, so therefore, and it's a prank, which theft. I don't like, so...
Theft and prank. Give you.
Yeah. Equals... Nope.
Okay, brilliant. Brother Matthew.
Yes. Well, I'm going to make a suggestion. Shouldn't John have been keeping an eye on his car instead of gassing away with all the other art students about life and stuff? They should have been looking at where his car was, and then he would have seen Julian driving it around the car park and leaving chicken sandwiches in there. And Gwen's in charge of security, but security have no remit over the undead or over the spiritual realm, as I understand
That's right.
So for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Did you realise you forgave art students?
Did I?
Yes.
Did I forgive the art students? I'm not sure I did.
You just said, all of those reasons, I forgive.
Yeah. No, I think
the beret is slipping, Matthew. The beret is slipping.
Indeed.
And as the scent of hot cross buns fills the hall, and there's some more eggs hidden round in the tufts of grass, it must be time for the parish notice board with more fabulous reviews. What do you have there, Matthew?
Well, very much like the Easter Bunny, I have uncovered lots of five-star reviews for the podcast, beginning with Sandra Mack 68, who says, best podcast ever, 5 stars. I remember listening to this on my way home from work when it was on the dark side. So glad I found it again. Arthur says, 5 stars, Matt's contagious laugh. 5 stars, absolutely love this podcast, always makes me crack up. And also, I was the one who did Matt Contagious Laugh, Love the Work, Matt and the Gang. Arthur still hasn't any punctuation at all.
Matt Contagious Laugh.
Matt Contagious Laugh. Yeah, that was sort of, yes. It was when you were deigning not to be on the podcast, Holly.
I mean, as a sentence, it made no sense.
No, it didn't. Anyway, yeah, the spirit was there, Arthur. Well done. Stevenson LFC says, top of all the charts. Oh, indeed. 5 stars. I have listened to Confessions back the Dark FM time. And now in the HD era. Love, love, love it. Matt's so cleverly funny. And the others are okay too. Keep it up, guys.
What is this?
Two Little Ducks, 31. Lol. Well done. Well
Stevenson
done,
LFC. Yeah. Obviously, that's it. Leicester.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
I mean, again, it's barely a sentence.
No, it's well done. Well done. The spirit, again, very strong with that one. Shepherdess Sam, hashtag sheep, 5 bars. 5 bars. Very good, Shepherdess Sam. Hashtag sheep. This podcast is essential listening in the lambing shed. The flock thoroughly enjoyed judging the misdemeanors of humans, and some have been listening since it was on the dark side.
Really?
They can't possibly, the lambs can't be that old. For which they won a car sticker. Really? The girls were slightly alarmed by the confession involving a sheep in an underground pool, but otherwise they definitely give it a worthy 5 bars. P.S. Matt for Prime Minister.
These are not. This is
very good.
Have you sent all of these?
Love these. Finally, Gaza, the Deutz driver, says 7 stars. I hear you get 6 a lot, so I'd add an extra one. Having listened from the other place, I then followed you to greatest hits. Now that the podcast has returned, I can now listen again in the tractor, as they don't have DAB in the tractor, apparently. Also, says Gaza, Holly's laugh sounds like Muttley from Wacky Races. Do you remember Muttley from Wacky Races?
Of course she doesn't.
Right, no. If she doesn't, says Gaza, helpfully. And if she doesn't know what that is, I'm sure that Matt or Simon can explain. Great comedy character, much loved, Holly. So it's absolutely a compliment. As always, keep up the laughs. Matt for King. Boom! Yes!
It's not a vacant position. Gaza. You don't apply for the job.
Do you not?
No.
Maybe. Well, I'm always at the end of the phone, Charles.
Who is Muttley? Sorry.
Muttley.
Dastardly and Muttley were a cartoon spin-off from Wacky Races.
Yes.
And Muttley was a dog.
Yeah. Right.
Much loved cartoon character, Holly. Much loved.
Was
much
it a compliment?
It is a compliment. I'm sure Gaza, Deutz driver.
Suffer rough and rustery.
Yes.
Is that what he sounded
like? He used to talk like that,
rough, but rough, I sound nothing like that.
No. The laugh was like, I can't do the laugh.
Like a dog laughing through its teeth. like that. There you go.
That
also doesn't really sound, but a compliment, that's what we're going to absolutely
really?
Take from that.
Okay.
Thanks,
I'll find it on a site somewhere and play it to you.
Okay, thank you.
It'd be something to look forward to.
Yes.
Cool. I can't wait.
How was your day today? Well, Simon played me a bit of Dastardly and Muttley.
Cartoon from the 70s.
Yes. Penelope Pitstop,
yes.
Yeah.
See, she sounds classy.
She was,
actually,
very classy.
You are like Penelope. Lady Penelope from Thunderbirds.
She was quite cool.
She was very, she was a puppet, but she was still a cool and classy.
Did she do anything, though? I don't think she did anything, did she?
She smoked a cigarette in a cigarette hole with Don't Smoke at Home, and Parker
Charlie
was the driver. Yeah. Charlie
was the driver, yes.
No, Parker was the driver.
Right. The
first
jazz
name Charlie,
musician.
Second Parker.
No.
Is that where they got it from?
Yes. He was just Parker.
Pretty sure it was Charlie. Yes,
I'm
looking it up. Charlie Parker.
No.
Oh, here we go.
If you want a Thunderbirds expert, you're looking at it.
There it is, Charlie Parker.
Charlie Parker was a jazz musician.
American saxophonist.
Yes. Not the driver of Lady Penelope.
Did he drive Lady Penelope?
No,
Penelope.
It's Parker.
Penelope.
It was just Parker.
It's unclear. Charlie Parker drive Penelope refers to. He was a legendary jazz saxophonist.
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
but
he was.
Parker just drove Lady Penelope.
Yeah. Sure, I'm right. Anyway, we'll agree to differ.
Oh no,
Julie's out.
I've just looked it up. It's Lady Penelope's driver is Aloysius Parker. So
Aloysius
Parker.
Aloysius Parker.
You rang, my lady.
There you go. So in a way, we're all right. Well done.
Well done,
everyone.
Everyone is fine.
Yeah.
But you're wrong.
Everyone is right. So,
anyway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you have trouble with someone at work, send in a confession. Yeah. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Susie, what have you got from the notice board?
I've got this from Gibbs, who says, hello to all at the Confessions podcast.
Hello, Gibbs.
I think we're all gonna like this, by the way. After many years of mourning the loss of Confessions, I decided to randomly Google Simon Mayo to see what he's up to and find out that the podcast is back.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I mean,
wait a minute, though.
I'm sure the compliment is on his way.
We're hardly hiding our light under a bushel. Yeah. I mean, how much
national
TV
radio
advertised
every day?
Blimey.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yes.
Gibbs carries on saying, after telling my mum about this great find, screenshot provided, and there is a little message conversation, I have parked all other podcasts and have been rinsing through episodes, having finished 36 in 13 days.
Wow. Ooh.
I am up to September 2024, where you are offering mugs and or postcards in return for compliments. Hoping this is still the case, yes. I am writing to tell you what I think.
Okay.
Firstly, to Simon,
yes.
You are one of my three comedy heroes.
Okay. Wow.
The other two being actual comedians.
Right. That makes me feel even better because I don't even have to try.
No, exactly. That's yes, true. It's natural. Yes. Mm.
With jokes delivered so dry that it's not always clear if there was ever a joke, and
wasn't.
An array of hilarious accents,
yes.
You can easily make me laugh.
You yes. Rang the lady.
I like that. Yeah,
exactly. Well done. In cases, this seems like I'm laying it on a bit thick, but I've thought this for at least 6 years, as proved by a screenshot of me commenting the very same thing on Reddit upon finding out you were leaving the other place.
Yeah, also, I wonder what happened to Simon May. Oh, he's been doing drive time yeah. for the last 5 years.
Yeah. Well
done. There's a confessions podcast. Oh, and is this, and he's done that, and he's done the thing. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Yeah.
Susie, your giggles give me life. And
wow.
Matt, your commitment to finding incomprehensible, contradictory and hypocritical ways to pardon any infraction is a constant source of baffled amusement.
Okay, I mean, I'm taking that as a massive compliment.
You're
also.
Incomprehensible, you're contradictory
hypocritical.
And hypocritical.
All of those, big pluses, I think.
Yeah. As for Holly...
Yeah. Yeah, as for Holly, I'd like to request more cameos from Holly, please, as her stern but refined input is always welcome.
Oh, yes. Thanks,
I entirely agree
Thank
with
you.
That.
Yes. Hopefully, I've buttered the team up enough to get a mug, a postcard, a pen, a sticker, or a stale Ken Bruce cookie.
God.
And if I am worthy of some tat, please, could it be accompanied by producer Holly's stern but refined signature, please?
Oh, wow. Yeah, crack open the Holly signature. Here we go, everyone.
Anyway... Gibbs goes on.
Yes, he does. He says he listens through Antenna Pod on my cyborg phone.
Doesn't make
so
sense.
I'm unsure how to give reviews, but I promise if this email is read out on the pod, I will borrow my mother's R phone and give you a review on RTunes.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is not a bribe unless it works, in which case it definitely is.
Brilliant.
Truly yours, Gibbs.
Wow.
Well, we know who's in charge of the tat. It's Mrs. Stern over there.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Stern.
Uh-huh.
Mademoiselle Stern.
Mm.
Yes.
What do you say to Gibbs?
Well, yes, I suppose the buttering up did work, didn't it, really? And so, yes, I will be sending him something. I don't... yes,
We've
a mug.
Some pens.
Oh, yeah, do we? Do we have pens?
Have we got pens?
Well, you could just go and buy some from the shop.
Well, that's not... I don't think that's what they're after, though, is it?
Oh.
They're just after some Bics.
From the stationery cupboard.
You can have one
pen.
Of my Muji pens.
Right. Yeah.
A mug maybe can be in order, and yes, we do have some postcards actually, don't we? Some signed postcards,
mm-hmm.
which can be signed by all of us, which would be rather
yes.
fun. Although he has just asked for mine, just
he
saying,
did.
Guys, he did.
Yeah,
he just did.
Yours should be centre. It should be right in the middle.
Really?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And then maybe Matt, and then also Dr. Mosh. Maybe I don't know if he's around.
I mean, if he's
maybe
about,
he could.
You could sign it. The sternest of regards.
Yes.
Ooh.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yes. Anyway, anything else that you fancy pinning to our notice board, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk and enclose a pin so that we can actually put it on the board. A couple of mentions go to Eddie Howard, Janine Moore, B, Tim D. Knotts, and Liam Meller. Amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase, which was last week, hard times for podcast crimes. Matt will have a new secret code phrase. Have you already worked out what it is?
No, I haven't. So stay tuned,
everyone. It's still being formulated.
Yeah.
We'll announce
Not
that
sending
at
me
the
to
end
jail
of the
again this week.
No,
well,
no.
It depends what happens.
Yeah,
really.
Could be, couldn't it?
But you're still here.
Mm.
out on license. Now it's time to sneak into the vestry with a torch and a guilty conscience. It's the not-for-broadcast Mark Knopfler section, the place where confessions go when they are not suitable for tea time radio. We'll proceed with caution, beginning with James. James, we all sympathise that having your long-term girlfriend of 10 years cheat on you with her best friend must have been very upsetting. However... cutting all of her clothes and throwing them out of the window
no.
is not a nice thing to
do. That's not on.
In addition to this, you also keyed her car.
Keyed her car?
And that's illegal.
No. It is
which
illegal.
Which is why it didn't wasn't get on. Broadcast.
No.
Hang your head in shame.
Yes.
Mind you, girlfriend, not pay.
No, I mean, nobody's covered themselves in glory there, have they,
no.
really?
No.
But revenge is never... No, it's never good.
It's never good.
Unless...
Thanks, Zen. Brilliant.
And yeah. Ricky, you may have only been 10, but taking ice creams from your mate's uncle's ice cream van without asking is stealing.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And we do say, but I mean, I think even if you're under the age of criminal responsibility, the police will still nick you.
Yes.
If you've stolen ice creams from someone's van.
Yeah, that's not on. You can't just do that.
Is it, if it's your mate's uncle, does that make any difference?
No, not really, unless the mate's uncle is it. Do you still get ice cream? We get an ice cream van comes down our road on a Sunday.
Do you get an ice cream?
Well, no, because I'm making Sunday dinner. So
you don't get yourself a little Mr. Whippy as a
little
pudding.
Treat.
You could just pop out and steal something and then see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. That's not going to happen, is
it
really?
It's not.
No.
Anyway, Ricky, very bad. James, very bad. Straight to hell. Thank you. Right. Let's. Is that not right?
Calm down.
really?
Not hell.
Overreaction.
Straight to hell. Thanks.
Let us close the door on that particular episode and return to the confessional booth and Red Rock's Coffin Tale, Aquarius. And my name is Ralph.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie Holly and all the other parishioners of the GHR. I think you meant diocese, but you've actually written disease.
So. No, that's fair enough as well, actually.
This confession has a sort of surreal 70s sitcom feel to it.
Oh, like it.
Okay. I seek forgiveness for a digression that happened around 15 years ago. So let me set the scene. It was in the depths of winter, in the late noughties, and Carnival weekend was upon our small Devon town. The town and its residents pride themselves in the tradition and quality of this event, which has been running since the Doomsday Book was scribed, maybe. With only two world wars and a lockdown ever stopping proceedings, Saturday night sees the main procession of beautiful tractor-drawn tableaus, meticulously planned and constructed from crepe paper, being paraded through the town along with flaming torches, and the streets would be flooded with spectators who came from far and wide to see this amazing nighttime spectacle. But for the locals of the town, Carnival starts on Friday night, where the pubs are a little quieter and we can have some local fun. Father Simon, I've spent quite some time trying to find ways of making this next part sound more palatable for the listeners, but I can't, so here goes. It's been a tradition for many years now that Friday night would consist of a group of people dressing up as and making fun of those people in the community who may have transgressed over the previous year. This might include extracurricular activities outside of a family setting, deals of a questionable nature, and other strange goings-on. Despite it being close to the bone at times, it's almost always taken well by the people concerned. By the end of the night, drinks are usually exchanged. As for those who don't, well, they shouldn't have done it in the first place.
No.
It's a small town, after all. Yeah. Anyway, this year, the object of our affections was our very own Carnival Queen. Let me explain. The Carnival Queen is usually a girl of school age and the appointment is determined by the amount of raffle tickets each applicant sells during the period leading up to the event. The person who sells the most tickets gets the honour of being queen. So imagine everyone's surprise when a local lady in her late 70s decided to throw her hat into the ring and subsequently secured the coveted position. Naturally, this was a prime target for us to exploit, and so a plan was hatched. Our routine would consist of myself, says the aforementioned Red Rock. About which we know nothing, dressed up as the Queen and driving a mobility scooter through the streets of the town, followed by a pensionable prince and princess and an entourage of doctors and nurses. A small firework would then go off, at which point one of us would collapse to the floor and a team of doctors and nurses would rush over and try in vain to resuscitate them. This would then result in the casualty being put in a coffin atop a gurney. This is where we get to the crux of the matter.
Okay.
At this point, I can already hear the disapproving intake of breath from Sister Susie Holly.
That's it. As a humble carpenter, I was tasked with making a convincing replica of a coffin.
Oh.
Now, I don't usually like to blow my own trumpet, but Father Simon, this was a thing of beauty. Complete with side handles and furnished inside with a set of net curtains from a charity shop, the local undertakers would have been proud. Friday night went without a hitch. Well, there were equal amounts of laughter and disdain, actually, but like I said, if you can't take a joke, you shouldn't have joined. And at the end of the night, we went back to the local pub to get changed into our civvies and drop all of our props. The landlord of the pub was more than happy for us to use the function room as storage, but was insistent on removing the very convincing-looking coffin from the beer garden before the following weekend, as he was holding an over-60s lunch. As he thought it might be distasteful to force the patrons to look on their impending face, rude and insulting, through the window whilst chewing on their mushy vegetables. I mean, I'm going to make a note of this. Definitely not forgiven. You wait till you're 60. Needless to say, we forgot about this until Thursday night after playing at the pub in the local pool league. Not having any kind of suitable transport to remove it and having had a few shandies, a couple of us quickly thought on our feet and decided to throw the coffin over the beer garden wall and into the river. Job done, problem solved. Or so we thought. Fast forward a couple of weeks and a friend of mine rings. He tells me to buy the local newspaper and turn to page 9. The paper was duly bought, page 9 was found, and there it was. A column with the heading, Brothers Make Spooky Find, Body Still Missing. It turned out that the coffin had landed perfectly in the water and then proceeded to drift for more than 20 miles before it stranded itself on a bank and subsequently discovered by two young lads. The coffin looked used, battered, and the lid was open. Maybe the article wondered there had been foul play. Maybe the dead person had been stolen. Maybe they weren't dead in the first place and it was all an insurance fraud. Or maybe a miracle had occurred.
Mm.
We made quite a splash. Has had the coffin.
Yeah.
Father Simon, I don't see forgiveness for taking the mickey out of the carnival queen. Many people were incandescent with rage over our antics, but she was definitely not one of them. She found it extremely funny, and we even had a scooter race around the local co-op that night. No, I ask forgiveness from Devon and Cornwall Flying Squad, scenes of crime officers, and anyone else in the force whose time I wasted. No, a body did not float away. There was no body in the first place. But I do seek forgiveness from the two young lads who stumbled upon what they thought was a genuine coffin due to my considerable talent and enthusiasm to do a job properly. I do think that Red Rock in Devon is a bloke because I think you can tell, and also he's a bit of a show-off.
Mm.
That's my assessment, instant psychological analysis.
Yeah, yeah.
Sister Susie, what do you say?
Yeah, I would agree that I think Red Rock is a bit of a show-off. Now, I do like a carnival. There are quite a lot in the Southwest, and they are quite fun. And, you know, even taking the mickey of some people, as long as everyone's in on it and finds it funny, then that I don't have a problem with that. But
yes.
I feel like you did waste a lot of people's time. And you know, you said you were going to get rid of the coffin, but instead you went and played pool and drank some beers. And I feel like that wasn't that great. And then, if the police had been called and they were searching for what should have been in the coffin, it's just a mess, isn't it, really? So I'm not going to forgive you, Red Rock.
It wasn't the cough that carried him off, it was the coffin that carried him off in.
I so
just thought it was another chance to repeat my grandfather's line from back in the day. Brother Matthew.
Well, I'm definitely going to forgive because, I mean, the Carnival Queen, she took it in good grace and that was fine. And she'd sold all the tickets, so she's quite right that she'd be on the thing. And and also the coffin. That was great. I mean, I love the idea of don't put it in the beer garden with the over 60s and the mushy vegetables.
That was rude and offensive.
It was excellent, I thought, very funny. But you've also got to think about these two pair of lads. I don't think I'd open a lid of a coffin if I saw it washed up on that. I think I'd leave it where it is. So well done to them. So everyone won, didn't they? And we're all delighted. So for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I'm
struggling.
You're
struggling.
Definitely getting worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can play these to a doctor.
Yes. Because of the
does,
thing.
Does this and, show know,
and this.
Significant decline over a year? Yes,
poor.
I'm afraid it does.
It does, yeah.
I think he needs to have another glass of Lucozade at least.
It's like inside your brain.
It is.
It's like all
imagine.
Of these thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like you have a sentence.
Freeform jazz hole, yeah?
You have a sentence jazz. And then you stop and then you start another sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no...
A bit like Charlie Parker. Call back there to the driver of Lady
Still
Penelope.
To come on the Confessions podcast, we join Johnny Boy on a high-tech cruise for his confession. Knock, knock, who's there? But first, it's Graham or possibly Gordon's
confession. Got to try Gordon.
Well, the thing is, he's Graham, but sometimes he likes to be called Gordon.
Oh, right, okay.
So yeah. We have Gordon Graham's confession, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
Shh. You won't tell anyone. What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
So today's confession comes from Gordon. All right, Gordon. Dear the very Reverend Simon and the assembled judgmental Kirk session, it's a Scottish thing, says
right,
Gordon.
Yeah, I like it.
My confession takes me back to the year 2000 when we had our then millennium holiday to that best of British seaside towns, Scarborough. And then my family of three, my wife Lynn, three-year-old son, Greg, and myself, Gordon. We enjoyed sunny days over 2 weeks at the seaside, lashings of ice cream, donkey rides and fish and chips, as well as the dreaded kids' disco at the holiday park where we were staying. All that makes a great British holiday, and it never rained once, lol. Towards... I always look strange when written down. Towards the last few days of holiday, we went late afternoon shopping, perusing the gift shops along the seafront for some small gifts, showing the delights of Scarborough to take home for our family and friends. You know the types, fridge magnets, rock, tea towels and ashtrays. Well, not so much the ashtrays, but I know what you mean. Mm. On the way back, we walked past the large theatre on the seafront where the Chuckle Brothers, that summer season's headline act, were starring. We stopped and had a look at the poster advertising the show. My young son did not really know who this brilliant act were, so he had no intention of going. But his big cousins, Kirsty and Heather, aged 11 and 9 at the time, back in Scotland, loved them and thought these two brothers were the funniest people on planet Earth. At that point, a man who worked in the theatre walked towards the theatre doors, carrying a large pile of large A4 programmes in both arms for that night's performance, and asked me if I could open the door for him, which I did. He then thanked me and handed me a free programme showing me a picture on the front of the Chuckle Brothers, like on the poster we'd just been looking at. When we got back to our lovely, well-equipped holiday home, we laid out the day's purchases and grouped the gifts into whose were whose, and at that point I suggested we also give Kirsty and Heather back home the Chuckle Brothers programme.
Ah, yes.
My wife joined in at this stage. She quipped, wouldn't it be great if it was actually signed by the Chuckle Brothers to Kirsty and Heather? Now, to do that would mean going all the way back into town and, slightly weirdly, hovering around the theatre to wait and see if I could catch Paul and the late Barry.
Yeah.
So that was not going to happen because that's just too weird. So then with a tad of devilment, we decided maybe it would be easier if we signed the programme ourselves with best wishes. I then did so on behalf of Barry and of Paul. Lots of love and so on. The whole thing. It looked pretty good. On returning to Scotland and visiting my brother's house to dispense the gifts, my nieces were stunned in disbelief when, along with the Scarborough Rock that they now owned, a signed Yes program, not featuring Yes, but featuring the Chuckle Brothers.
It's signed, isn't it?
Chuckle Brothers. And I was their favourite uncle. I had actually met the Chuckle Brothers. I mean, obviously, clearly, I was making this stuff up. But how popular I was, Father Simon, how popular I was. Now, a number of years later, at a family party, my nieces, now 22 and 20 years old, with two younger sisters now in tow, we got into a conversation of who had met the most famous people. At which point, my two eldest nieces brought up, "Well, Uncle Gordon, remember that time you met the Chuckle Brothers?" I looked a bit perplexed and then suddenly remembered the programme. Yes, the programme, not the Yes programme. Yes, I blurted out,
to which they responded, "We still have it," and said, when we were growing up, we had friends round. They would always say how lucky you were to have a personally signed programme from the Chuckle Brothers. The brothers at that time were still going strong on TV and were now a firm favourite of their now younger sisters. My wife, Lynn, then nudged me, but I said nothing. Reverend Simon, I do not seek forgiveness from my nieces, who took so much pride in their signed programme, but to the venerable Chuckle Brothers, who I technically, I suppose, stole their intellectual property. Hmm. And to any parents who were reluctantly made to queue up by their kids at backstage doors after shows to get signatures from TV stars, which I thought was much easier and much quicker if I just did it myself. Hmm. How is this signed? This confession, it's signed from me to you.
Oh, of course cool. It is.
You see? Yeah, you see? Yeah. I mean, that, you have to say that's a very stylish way to go.
Yeah.
From me to you, that's Gordon, also known as Graham. But that's slightly confusing. You'll have to check in the podcast for all those details. Sister Susie, what do you say to Gordon Graham?
Well, I think slightly harmless Gordon Graham, but also kind of like they thought that was real. And that, I feel, is a little bit mean. But I also am feeling quite forgiving. And I'm sure the Chuckle Brothers wouldn't mind, so I'm going to forgive.
Imagine having the Chuckle Brothers and in the same confession.
Oh,
quite extraordinary. It was signed,
It was,
The members of Yes had signed it.
Yes.
By Matthew.
So I'm definitely going to forgive. I'm sure Paul and Barry Chuckle would have been more than amenable to signing it. And they didn't mind if you just saved them some time by signing the programme instead. So, yes, definitely forgiven. Everyone wins, including all of them. And indeed, the Stranglers. I think they'd be very happy with the outcome as well.
Right,
so, to
good.
Me, to you.
Nice.
I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Today's confession comes from Johnny Boy. Johnny Boy, it's vaguely PG in places, this tale.
Right, fair enough.
Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, my confession relates to an incident which occurred on a Mediterranean cruise from Southampton that my wife and I enjoyed last year. The Big Shiny is some ship. Names have been changed here. That's not actually the name of the ship.
Obviously not. No.
The Big Shiny is lovely. Our cabin was large, comfortable and quiet with a balcony. The guests are served by several excellent restaurants, bars and shops. And it's high-tech sailing. No steering wheel on the bridge. Computers, virtual tech and electronics drive everything. Especially the doors. All the doors. This made us laugh because my wife often says I'm stupid and I can't really be allowed to touch buttons and things because they always go wrong. One afternoon, I popped into the large washroom on deck 5. It's been designed to allow access for wheelchair users. The cubicle doors inside, there are two of them, are large, wide and exclusively electronically controlled. I spent a long time working out how to use the darn things. You access the room by waving your open palm across the sensor. You make the cubicle door open in a similar way. However, once inside the cubicle, the internal sensor waits for you to move to the center before closing the door firmly behind you with a loud click.
Wow.
There is an internal lock too. The door is big and sturdy, just as all public loo doors should be. I have to admit, I warmed to the feeling of security and relaxation it gave me. Just what you need for a relaxing moment of relief. To leave, you reverse the process. Happy days. Early one evening, en route to the theatre, I had to visit the same loo. My wife continued without me. I was just washing my hands in the cubicle when I heard the exterior door slide open, letting in the noise and laughter and children and families to enter. The door closed, muffling the passing throng. The door of the second cubicle closed with a click and I smiled to myself. Someone else had mastered the technology. I waved my hand at the sensor on the toilet wall and my door very slowly, for safety reasons I guess, opened. A man stood waiting. I stepped out and he stepped in, but the door carried on opening until it had completely travelled the programmed distance. "Go right in, it'll close behind you," I said. He smiled gratefully as the motor started.
Oh, no.
I waited until it clicked, and I did a mime of slamming the door shut. But in the process of my mime, inadvertently passed close to the next door cubicle, which then clicked loudly and began to open.
Oh, no.
My blood ran cold as a desperate shout of "No, no!" came from inside the cubicle. I flapped both hands at the sensor and then flung myself at the door. I was no more use at blocking it than a fly would be, as inexorably the door widened, leaving me face to face with an elderly lady, desperately, shall we say, taking countermeasures. She then stopped shouting no and started shouting oaths and vulgarities from the 17th century and maybe earlier. "Sorry," I shouted as I hit the wrong sensor again. Now the door to the outside slid open, revealing to passers-by the poor lady's distress and a man playing whack-a-mole with the buttons on the wall. Very sorry to say, my nerve broke. I scarpered as the lady's door finally began closing again. "Have you been running?" my wife asked as I slid into the seat next door to her as the curtain went up on another production of Anything Goes.
Oh, yes.
"No," I lied, wheezing. So to the lady on the big shiny, name changed, "I'm so sorry for your distress, but why hadn't you locked the door in the first place? Sorry and sorry and sorry and sorry again. I guess my wife might be right." Indeed, yes, I am stupid. Yes, that's basically where Johnny Boy is heading. A little sitcom feel to that one. What do you say to Johnny Boy, Sister Susie?
Well, Johnny Boy, like, I do feel for you. That sounds very complicated, and I'm not sure I would have managed to decipher how on earth. And what happens if you're really busting for a pee? You've got to wait for the door to close.
Yes,
really,
I do.
Slowly behind you. But I just feel like you got a bit cocky, didn't you? And you thought, I know what I'm doing here. And then it just was disaster. And that poor lady. So I can't forgive you, I'm afraid.
A brother from another gutter.
Yes, call me an old Luddite, but I don't want my trips to the loo governed by electronics. Thanks very much. I want to have a doorknob and I want to have a bolt that I can slide across and know that that door is definitely going to stay
closed. You don't want a sensor.
I don't need a sensor. I don't need multiple buttons telling me when to close the door and when to lock it. Why were you doing mimes around that lot? That's what I want to know, because it seems like the worst place to be doing mimes is where people are doing what they're doing in the privacy of...
It was a mime of slamming the door to entertain the gentleman who'd gone in.
Yes, of course it was, but you don't do a mime when he's about to do his thing with the electronics. So, for all of those reasons, and because you managed to get through that entire thing with a massive cough, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I think that's the first time that's happened.
Anyway, Johnny Boy's confession led to a similar tale on The People's Verdict.
And Ella in Surrey says, "Forgiven, they have these kinds of systems on trains, and I personally had a rather embarrassing instance where I was going about my business and the door automatically slowly opened, exposing me to a full carriage."
Dear, dear, dear. I decided that as it's Easter, I cannot wait any longer.
Oh, you're going to have your Easter egg?
Provided by Holly.
By Holly, yes.
Nice.
Very nice, very nice.
Oh, is that what you do?
You're going to smash it.
You smash it?
Yeah.
You bash it on the table.
Do you? I don't do that.
And I just...
And it cracks in a provocative way. There you go.
What chocolate is it?
It's a little bit of Cadbury's.
Yes.
With mini eggs inside.
Lovely.
Nice.
Is there any other kind? Mm. I always eat Cadbury's. That's going to come out. It's definitely going to come out. Because actually, I don't. I like all the chocolates of the world.
All the chocolates?
Yes. All the chocolates of the world.
And my name's Ralph.
That's right. Particularly dark milk.
Dark milk chocolate?
That yes. Doesn't,
yeah,
no,
good.
There's dark chocolate and there's milk chocolate.
And there's also dark milk.
What's that?
I don't think that exists.
Delicious. It
dark
does
milk
exist.
Chocolate, doesn't it? Yeah. We're looking it
does.
Up. Looking it up on the thing.
What's that say?
Oh, dark milk chocolate.
There you go.
Oh, right. Okay.
Dark milk?
Yes, it's just got more cocoa in it, that's all.
I don't think it's like an in-between.
No, you'd probably call it sad chocolate.
I would call it sad chocolate. That is what I call it.
Everyone else calls it really, really nice chocolate.
Sad chocolate.
It's like, well, what's the point in having it if you don't enjoy it? I don't enjoy it.
No.
Like, I'd have it, but I wouldn't enjoy it.
That wraps up another week of confessions. If you've been inspired by any of them, I'd be incredibly surprised. But do send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now, Brother Matthew, in all the time that he's had available to sit there and come up with a code phrase, delivers it for everybody.
And here is the code phrase for this week, which is sad chocolate. Sad chocolate is what you should be sending because it's Easter. And
we need happy chocolate.
We do. But we also need room for sad chocolate. That is the code phrase for this week. Sad chocolate.
So you want sad chocolate?
No, it's just the code phrase for this week.
You said there needs to be room for sad chocolate.
Well, it does, doesn't there? We can have happy chocolate. We can have indecisive chocolate. We can have frustrated chocolate.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me.
Ambivalent chocolate.
At Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or post it on Blue Sky.
Miserable chocolate.
Remember to share the podcast with a friend in a shower and leave us a glowing review.
Not
we'll be back next week. Yes, in a shower. With another bunch of confessions. Until then, from the pub, despairing Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra.
From the cupboard du tat, Sister Holly, in her stern but reassuring manner, says...
Hasta la vista, baby.
And from the gutter, Brother Matthew.
Hysterical chocolate, that's another one. Goodbye.
Thank you very much for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.